We learned yesterday that on his way out, Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta will lift the ban on women in combat roles. The move will make hundreds of thousands of frontline jobs available to women and allow them the combat experience to rise into the ranks of 3- and 4-star generals. It follows a 2-month-old federal lawsuit against the Pentagon filed by 4 servicewomen challenging the combat restrictions. More than 20,000 women, including those who filed the suit, have served in combat in Iraq or Afghanistan without that combat recognition on their personnel files. Joining us now, Kristen Rouse, First Lieutenant in the Army National Guard, who just returned from a 31-month tour in Afghanistan, and Rosa Brooks, law professor at Georgetown University and former Pentagon official. Welcome to both of you.
Hello, thank you.
So, Rosa, let me just begin with you. Is there anything about this federal lawsuit that might have encouraged or tipped Defense Secretary Leon Panetta into making this decision on his way out?
I don't think the lawsuit was the deciding factor. This is an issue that's been discussed for a pretty long time. I think it was, you know, yet another factor. But I think this is just frankly an overdue recognition of the reality, which is that women for many, many years have already been out there in effect in combat, just not enjoying some of the career opportunities and opportunities to serve that they'd like to have. But they're already in danger. They're already fighting. They're already dying. They're already performing heroically.
But is this a personnel decision here, or is it really a game changer in the sense that women will be in fundamentally different roles than they've ever been in before in U.S. history?
I think it's both. You know, it's a game changer because I think it has the potential to really transform the military in the long term by opening up leadership positions to women that they have effectively been locked out of because they couldn't go through that career track that required certain military occupational specialties and command and so on and so forth. You know, so I think we may see a military 30 or 40 years from now that has a vastly greater percentage of women in the most senior positions. In the near term, will it make it a dramatic difference next year or the year after? Probably not, because as I said, de facto, we already have women out there in combat.
Lieutenant Rouse, did this surprise you, this decision?
Well, John, and also first to clarify, I just returned from my third tour, which gives me a total of 31 months in Afghanistan. Thank you for mentioning that. But, John, as we've seen with Iraq and Afghanistan, success in combat has become as much about problem solving, critical thinking, and building relationships as much as it is closing with the enemy. And so we have seen, as Rosa pointed out, women in combat roles right alongside infantrymen, which is a closed position to them. But because of the different needs that have occurred on the battlefield, I personally have seen military police, intelligence specialists, female engagement teams, medics, civil affairs specialists, and others that have been right there alongside the infantrymen. Now, something that has been closed to them is recognition for being assigned to those units, as you mentioned.
When we talk about recognition, it's not simply medals and that sort of thing. It's specific recognition in your personnel file that bears specifically on your advancement, which will definitely favor men who will get that recognition. Women won't.
Generally speaking, that's what I personally have experienced. As a female, you're assigned to a unit to which females can be assigned, whether a support battalion or a headquarters element, and you'll be attached out to that infantry unit. But your personnel records, as you mentioned, will not show that combat assignment. You can get a combat badge for your performance in that direct line of fire, but your unit assignment doesn't show that, and command positions will not recognize that, and so on.
In the military, I'm curious, do you want to get out there and close with the enemy? Do you want to take out some, you know, unit of Taliban on some hill somewhere with a 50 cal, and do you want to have that responsibility?
Well, it's about accomplishing the mission, and we're all one team, whether you're male, female, gay, straight, whatever,
totally
whatever
understood
your background is, and you are a full team member.
And I totally buy that, but do you want to be the tip of the spear here? There's some question as to whether this will ever be an actual tip of the spear, or, you know, Zero Dark 30, you aren't going to lead that team into Abbottabad. But if that were the opportunity, would you want that?
Well, me personally, I've been in logistics my entire career. I've had a total of 18 years in service. And so logistics is what I know. And I have wanted very much to support the tip of the spear because I want to win. I want my team to win. And I want to do anything I can to ensure that they win. Now, if that involves being out there in forward positions where enemy fire may be a possibility, absolutely. Absolutely, I will be there. And the thing is that women generally haven't had the combat training that the men have, that the infantrymen have. And so without the training, then, you know, maybe you don't want to be there as much as those infantrymen
that,
do.
I can also understand.
So training is an issue as well.
Rosa Brooks, will training change before we go?
Not necessarily. I think that we obviously already know how to give military personnel the skills that they're going to need for all of these positions. It's just a matter, as Christian said, of opening those opportunities up for women. You know, in this regard, I don't actually think women are that different from men. You have men in the military who from the age of 8 are dreaming that they're going to be the guy who's the tip of the spear, you know, and they grow up watching old World War II movies and so on. And that's their goal. There are men who want to be intelligence officers. There are men who want to do a wide variety of more specialized jobs. And that's going to be true for women, too. They're going to be, you know, these combat occupational specialties are not going to appeal to all women any more than they appeal to all men. But I think it's long overdue to give women the opportunity to compete for them and to train for them if that's something that they're interested in doing.
Rosa Brooks, law professor at Georgetown University, former Pentagon official. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
And we thank Kristen Rouse for her service and for joining us here. She's a first lieutenant in the Army National Guard, a veteran of the war in Afghanistan, just returned from her third tour. Thanks, Kristen.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
We want to hear what you think about this. How do you foresee things changing with women in combat?
My name is Danny. I'm calling from Salt Lake City. And in response to your question, hopefully more sanity and less unnecessary violence and cruelty. But sadly, most likely, it will simply mean more dead and or horribly wounded women.
We'd love your story, your reaction to all of this. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can weigh in on this conversation or anything else you hear on the program.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.